Welcome to Ratchet & Wrench Radio, an Endeavor Business Media podcast, bringing you strategies and inspiration for auto care success, featuring the voices of shop owners, thought leaders, and influencers from around the auto care industry. Today, my guest is Kendall Warnock of A1 Automotive in Lincoln, Nebraska, and we're talking about comebacks. Every shop has them. Every shop will get them if they have not yet had them, if they are new. It's all about how you handle them, and Kendall Warnock talks about the right attitude shop owners need to have when handling comebacks and how your approach to comebacks can turn people off or turn them into raving fans of your shop. Kendall's also going to talk a little bit about his background. Kendall grew up on a reservation, grew up poor, and he worked on his father's shop, which had a dirt floor. Kendall talks about how those experiences shaped his life, helped him to have a heart for people, the community, and how that permeates into everything that he does, including his shop. So here's Kendall Warnock. Psst, hey you. Yeah, you. Can I tell you how fired up I am about the 2024 Ratchet & Wrench Management Conference happening September 12th through the 14th at the Renaissance Orlando at SeaWorld in Orlando, Florida? That's right. Our theme this year, powering your shop, fueling the fun. When you register at rwconference.com, you'll join industry leaders for an exclusive business building conference for auto repair shop owners, operators, and managers. This year, it's a new location, it's a new format, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. We've got over 30 strategy sessions, we've got roundtables, we've got keynotes. And best of all, we've got lots of valuable networking to put you in proximity of some of the industry's leading operators so you can soak in their knowledge. RWconference.com to register, and I'll see you in Orlando. And now, on to our guest. What's up, Kendall? Welcome to Ratchet & Wrench Radio.
Chris, hey, it's always good to hear your voice. Always good to see you, brother. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's always good to collab with you, man. It's funny, like we kind of hooked up on Facebook and then we started chatting there. Then we did an article together. Then we did a webinar together. And I feel like I'm always around you now.
You know, I think we gravitate towards good people, or that's how I'm going to spin it, man. So I'm a big fan of you, and you know, you've got great energy, and I'm happy to help in any way with you and Ratchet & Wrench and anybody out there. So let's get it.
Right on, man. So tell us about yourself and the shop.
Yeah, so Lincoln, Nebraska. I have a small independent shop called A1 Automotive here in downtown Lincoln. You know, small shop, and you know, a lot of the people that in our circles and independent shops in the United States, you kind of hear the same thing. Small shop, 3,200 square feet, five hoists, you know, we serviced about 4,000 vehicles last year, so we're moving at a pretty good clip. We did a little under 2.5 million last year. And I say that, and again, everything that we say today, everything I say today is with a ton of humility, because it's been a journey. And I think a lot of us in our space in general, that's the MO. It is an absolute journey filled with a lot of challenges, a ton of opportunities, a lot of growth, a little bit of failure. And then, you know, how many times can you get up type of mentality?
Yeah, well, the humility with you is definitely true. I mean, you grew up a shop kid right on a dirt floor. Tell us about that.
You just gave me flashbacks of the dirt floor on the Omaha Indian Reservation in Northeast Nebraska. And my father, we grew up super poor. It was really hard for me to say that 15 years ago. I'm not ashamed to say that now. I think that's just the growth of being a human being. But you know, when you grow up in a shop environment. My father is, you know, I just visited this shop last week because it means that much to me back home on the reservation. You know, it's two stall dirt floor. When it rained, like there was the rain ran right into us. So we had to put plywood on the floor when it was raining, because otherwise it was a mess. It was a mess. So again, you know, humble beginnings, which, you know, I think creates some added value in life, and just learn to appreciate everything, because you don't know. Grew up on food stamps, you know, spent the last $10 food stamp September 27th, 2002 here in Lincoln. And, you know, told myself I, I wasn't going to do that any longer. And by God's grace, I'm not doing that now. So again, a lot to be grateful for. My father taught me, how to continue to be humble. He taught me how to treat people well. And, and so did my mother, but I'm just grateful to be here.
Yeah. Well, speaking of treating people well, you know, I learned that you were a big team guy, a big community guy, a guy who's about service. Tell us about how that mindset was instilled in you and then how you expressed that on a daily basis to your customers and your team.
Well, I tell you what, I think we all have that, you know, did it come from mom or did it come from dad? Did it come from one of your parents in terms of instilling that servant leadership model into you? And it really did come from my mother back home. I mean, she, you know, we grew up in a village of 90. So if she wasn't taking care of us, she was taking care of others in the community. And it was just the simple things, man. Like if somebody needed a loaf of, and I'm not kidding, even a loaf of bread across the street. That and again, we grew up in a small town of the village called Rosalie, and it was not, we were pretty, we just didn't have a lot. We grew up on government assistance and government and commodity cheese and things like that. So if the neighbor needed a loaf of bread, and we had it, my mother would give them half of our loaf of bread and vice versa. So that's the mentality. I remember us pulling around a little red wagon. Those little red wagons, remember those things?
Yeah, I do.
I was pulling those around because our neighbor didn't have any food to eat. So I pulled that around the entire village of Rosalie with my mother. And we asked for donations for the people that didn't have anything to eat, our neighbors. So that's where it started for me. And then, as God has continued to bless me, then I just pay it forward, man. Like, that's what success means to me. So that's where, for sure, without a doubt, unequivocally, it came from my mother.
Yeah. So as a shop owner, do you feel like it's a privilege then to work on people's vehicles and to take care of them and to service their cars?
If you don't think like that, in my opinion, respectfully, if you don't think like that, it's going to be tough. I mean, you've got to, I stay in a constant state of gratitude. That we are able to work and that we are here to serve others in that space. Now, wherever you're at, if you're in Nebraska, you're in Kansas, you're in Texas, you're in New York, California, there is so many options for, the community to go. There's so many different shops to go to. So I live in that space every day. We are extremely grateful for the opportunities that others give us here.
Okay. Now, one risk of performing on service on someone's vehicles is the chance that the repair isn't done well or it's not done properly and results in a comeback, right?
Sure.
And this is an area that I think you excelled in. Yeah. So tell us about your process with handling comebacks.
Yeah, I tell you what, those I think affect all of us and really should affect all of us in terms of our independent status, in terms of repair shops. When we had a situation it's been about 2 months ago now with the Volvo, gentleman's prized 1991 Volvo 240 that he brought to us because nobody else really, was able to work on. We work on all makes and models here in Lincoln, Nebraska. And his name is Stefan, and he gave us an opportunity. So we installed a mass airflow sensor on it. We determined that the fault. As a diagnosis. And, he came back again and said, hey, it just wasn't working. So we determined that the mass airflow sensor was faulty again. We hung that on. And then he left us, then he gave us a poor review. It was a 2-star. It was on Saturday night at 7:30. I won't forget it. And I saw that and I immediately, I looked up his number and I called him and I said, and this was 7:30 on Saturday night. My wife was not too excited about me picking up the phone at 7:30 on a Saturday night to call a customer I never met. But that's really how I try to operate. And I said, Stefan, I'm really sorry. These affect me a lot. I really take them really personally. And I didn't say that to him, but I'm just saying that to our audience because they do. I said, Stefan, would you be willing to give me one more opportunity? And I said, I promise I won't let you down. So Stefan, he was an agreeable man. He was, he wasn't overly difficult at all. And he said, okay, I'll tell you what, I spent 15 minutes on the phone with him on Saturday night. So that led to the Volvo showing back up. And I said, listen, guys, let's get back to the basics on this. And I thought maybe we're missing something. 2 days later, after we absolutely went through the compression to the fuel, to the ignition system, all of it, broke the thing entirely down in terms of the engine, we came back to another mass airflow sensor that was faulty. And I said to myself, okay, guys, really? Like, are we really dealing with three faulty parts? The fact of the matter is, Chris, we were. So I did find and isolate a different brand of mass airflow sensor. We did get it shipped in. It was 2 days out. Took care of it. I called him. We did some adds to it too. I changed his fluid in his rear diff. I did the oil change at no cost. I put some wiper blades on it at no cost. And that's kind of the over the top, customer service that we try to provide. But those types of situations with all of us, we can handle those a couple different ways. We can say, okay, well, let's move on. We couldn't please him or her. But that's not me. And it never will be. It never will be our shop. If we have issues with a car or a vehicle, we're going to make sure that we take care of that customer. So that's how we handled that one. But it was a long journey. Stefan was really excited. He called me back and said, "Hey, that took a lot of integrity. How you handled that." And I'm not saying that because I'm looking for any kind of applause, but I just want others to know that if you handle it that way, if you're able to handle it that way. That's always the right
Stefan
way.
Stefan adjust his rate? His Google rating? Did he adjust his Google rating?
He sure did. It is now a 5. It's 5 now. So, again, he went from a 2 to 5, but he wouldn't have unless I called him. But that is one situation, Chris, that I can tell you unequivocally. And if I see them, a couple other issues over the last year, there was a couple other ones we dealt with the same way. Like we had two or three comebacks the entire year last year. So, and over 4,000 vehicles, our quality control is great. But when we have a situation where parts failure, even though it's not our fault, it's mm-hmm. still our fault. That's how, that, again, other shop owners might think differently, and that's fine. But that's how I think, because I want, every day I wake up and I want to be the best for everybody. And that means for sure my family, my friends, the community and the people that we serve.
So with that, you came in with a spirit of a learner. You wanted to know what was wrong with the customer, why he was upset, what you could do to make it better. Why is that the approach as opposed to maybe letting it get to you, like getting under your skin? Because I can imagine that a comeback and get under someone's skin and like, oh, well, I fixed it again. It's still not right. Is it the customer? Is it something else? But why is it just that you have to continue to have an open spirit about the comeback?
Well, my father, he taught me at a very young age on that dirt floor, to try to detach emotionally from the situation and what's the best decision for that situation, whether when you're dealing with your child, some challenges, or, your wife or your significant other or somebody in the community, is certainly, and that's applicable to serving others too and serving our customers. So I try to now. I'm not perfect. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I told you that I was, but in every situation, I try to take 15, 20 seconds and detach emotionally, just detach from it. There's no, so throw the emotion out of the equation. What's the best thing to do in this situation without the emotion being there? So that's
why
I try.
Why was it important for you to handle that comeback? Maybe not the service advisor or the technician. Like, why was that something that you felt like you needed to do with that Volvo?
Well, it was Saturday night at 7:30. That was situation number one. And two, with my service advisors, Kurt and Troy, I allow them to handle them if they're in the heat of the battle and a customer calls them. But I always want them. We break down everything. We have monthly meetings, quarterly meetings. We break down the good, the bad, the challenges, opportunities, including any kind of comebacks or any challenges that we've had. But I want them to grow in those spaces. And I feel like I'm a pretty good mentor to them in those spaces too. So when they can hear me talking and my tone of voice doesn't change, my attitude towards somebody doesn't change. The detached emotionally is, emotion is not in the situation or in the equation or in the conversation. It's important to me to make sure that they're doing it the way I believe it needs to be done and treating others at a very high level.
Talk about the quality control. You mentioned that, you only had 3 comebacks in the entire, year 2023. What does your quality control process look like?
Yeah. So the QC process post repair, the technician goes from A to Z on a simple checklist, 10, 12 part checklist, and aside from the repair. So they confirm that the repair is done, then the QC process, a couple steps, and then on the backside of that, the service advisor that is assigned to that ticket, he does a QC as well. So it's QC'd two times. And QC'd even to the point where that QC is, do we have any residual runoff? Do we have any coolant? Do we have, have we driven it? We've got a route that we drive every repair, depending on the severity of the repair, is it depending on the route that we drive it in terms of, half a mile or a mile, or we need to put a couple miles on it. So that, those situations are dictated by the level of repair that we do, but it's QC'd by the technician, and then it's QC'd again by our service advisor.
Something we talk about in the auto care industry a lot is transparency and trust. And why is it important to have great communication in a situation of a comeback? Where you're dealing with it, the customer's upset perhaps, and then you've got to be able to field that complaint and be able to diffuse the situation and communicate in a way that helps the customer understand your perspective, and you're also first and foremost understanding where they're coming from.
Over the last few years, we dealt with 3, 4, 5 comebacks a year. And I just tell them, I call them right away. I don't wait. I know here's the situation, here's the challenge, and I want them to hear the tone of my voice, whether it's 7:30 in the morning or 7:30 at night. Hey, I care. Like, I care about you. Not only do I care about your vehicle, but I really, I care about everybody in our community, the family that we have here at the shop. And then, but I want them to know, hey, you're not getting rid of me that easily. I care about you. I want you to have a great experience here. And I want to be able to, to navigate the challenge that we had with you through to the end. And then, more often than not, if we do that and we handle it with some empathy and a ton of transparency, the trust, even if the trust is wavering, because of a repair that didn't go right with the repair shop, you can get that back. You just have to be transparent. You have to be empathetic. You have to get the job done right. But they have to know that you can that they can trust ultimately.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. So for young shop owners, a couple years into the game, who may be struggling with comebacks or maybe struggling with getting their quality processes, down to a science. What recommendations or advice do you have for them?
What I didn't do, and I've been in this game for 15 years. What I didn't do was find others that were really further ahead than me. Like, you think about when I started out, it wasn't an arrogant, hey, I think I can get this person. I think I can handle this myself. I'm sorry, my phone is ringing there. I think I can handle this myself. Or I'm just going to go ahead and figure out a way to get the job done here. What I should have done was I should have found someone like me 15 years into this process and asked, hey, Can I ask you some questions? Can I get on the phone with you for 30 minutes? Can I get on the phone with you for an hour? And I tell you, when I did that, Bruce House, I think we both know Bruce, the excellent human being at Atlantic Motor Cars up there in Maine, one of the best men I know in our industry. You need to find a mentor, and we're out there. Like, if we can help you avoid, some failures over the next few years. That's why, if we truly love this industry and want everybody to be successful, which you and I both do, you've got to get in front of or on the phone with somebody like me. If you're 2 years in, 4 years in, get with somebody like me. If you're a little bit further down the road, you got to find some cat that's better than you and just say, hey, Kendall, Chris, can I chop it up with you for an hour? You have 20 minutes. I've got an issue. Can I hit you for 2 minutes? That's just where these younger guys and gals should be looking for support.
That's going to do it for us today at Ratchet & Wrench Radio. Be sure to check out other episodes on your favorite podcast player. And leave us a review if you found the episode to be helpful. Also, follow Ratchet & Wrench on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. You can get our newsletter delivered to your inbox 4 times a week, Ratchet & Wrench Insider, at ratchetandwrench.com/subscribe. Thanks for listening, and may the rest of your day be the best of your day. And we'll see you next week.